Welcome back to Rob, Anybody, and Dawn. Email the show at radradio.com.
We got a couple that are semi-related, kind of, sort of, maybe, in a little bit of a way. Michelle is the first one.
Hey, Michelle.
She says, over the years, I've waited for family and friends to give me a birthday shout-out. It's been a tough year, both good and bad, with the loss of a close family member and the beautiful wedding to my amazing husband. So this year, I've chosen to show up for myself and request a birthday shout-out for me.
Yay, you!
I love and appreciate what you guys do every day. You've been there for me more than you can imagine. Happy birthday to me.
Yay! Oh, so my oldest sister, Colleen, it's her birthday today.
Oh, yes, that's right. Somebody's older than Dawn.
Yes. What?
And living.
Whoa.
It's like that moment in The Grinch with Jim Carrey. You two are still alive? When he meets the women that raised him.
Oh, my God.
TJ wrote in and said, a quick shout out to myself for being an amazing person who is also caring, compassionate, and always doing things for others.
Oh,
I'm one of the best people I know, and I deserve a shout out. Happy 28th to me.
Oh, happy, happy birthday. Now eat your f***ing cake. Happy, happy birthday, or we'll punch you in the face.
We mentioned the Mixed Pick Sports Show that's every morning at 10 a.m., including today. We'll go over the Kings' big win last night, what it means in the NBA playoffs. There's two games tonight in the Eastern Conference, the NHL playoffs. And some really weird ways things were decided last night. Those are the big stories. We do the Mixed Pick Sports Show every day at 10 a.m. on Rad TV at members.radradio.com. It's on the Rad Radio app and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. And after that, we go to Classic Rad from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. On those same platforms. And we go back at least 5 years. Today, we're going back 7 years.
Whoa.
To 2017. And a Dr. Rob letter about a mom writing in who's dealing with her kid's friend's dad. So she's got a kid. That kid has a friend. And that friend has a dad who likes to be way too touchy-feely
Ew.
With her, the letter writer.
Ew. Yeah.
And we talk about it. We get into it. There's other things in the Classic Rad segment, but that's a big one that I thought I'd mention. It's 11 to 3 on 104.7 FM, 890 AM in Sacramento in the Rad Radio app. Because it seemed like a good time to promote that, since we're going to help some people ourselves right now.
And now, baby, here's Dr. Rob, the doctor of love. Dr. Rob.
Here's how the Dr. Rob segment works. Got a question, a comment, a problem of your own. Our phone number is 888-989-9811. You can always write to the doctor, R-A-D, at radradio.com. Remembering, I am not really a doctor, and you should suck it. We'll start with Amber.
Hi, Amber.
She says, 2 weeks from now, I'm flying to Texas for the week, and I am nervous about the flight.
Oh.
I'm flying there to see my dad, who I've never seen before.
Whoa.
What? Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But notice she's nervous about the flight, right? I think whatever's going on with never, you know, meeting dad, that's not what she's writing
Maybe
about.
She's so excited. She's not nervous.
She says, any advice would be greatly appreciated. So you're nervous about the flight.
Ooh.
Okay. Look, Amber, different things work for different people when it comes to a fear of flying. First of all, have you ever flown before? And is that why you're nervous, or have you flown before and it was a rough flight, or so there's different things that I'll throw out a few. Obviously there are medications. You there's not a doctor on the planet, if you have a GP, who wouldn't give you some form of you could go a mild sedative way. You can go something like an Ativan or a Xanax kind of thing that takes the edge off. That's one way to go with the medication route. Another way you can go, depending on how your brain works, you're a woman, so this probably won't work for you because it's very logic-based.
Oh, you zip it.
Is you could look into how extraordinarily safe flying is. You could be reminded that it is the safest form of transportation on the planet, how long it's been since a major plane crash occurs, how little turbulence matters when you feel the bumps and things like that. I don't know if that helps you. That kind of, a lot of people just get drunk before they get on the plane as well, which has a similar reaction, obviously, without a prescription to the medication idea.
Yeah, and going back to you saying it's the safest mode of transportation, you're going to probably get in a vehicle of some sort to drive to the airport. You have way more of a likely chance of getting in a deathly car accident than dying in a plane crash.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's helpful, but flying is not my favorite, but I don't have that fear I used to have only because I'm old now and I've flown a million times. But back when I literally was fearful, and I don't know the extent of hers, because I have a friend that she is so afraid of it, she has to be knocked out, right? Like, there is a pill. She gets on the plane. She has to be knocked out for the whole flight because that's how bad her fear is. If you're just the regular normal fear, you're just afraid of all the numerous things that could happen and go wrong, and anything that you hear, is that something? And yes, I used to drink. That was one thing I would do. I'd catch a buzz. It helped me feel better. But the other thing I finally sunk into, listen, you can fly while you're fearful. You'll get there. You're still going to get there. You're going to get to your destination. So there's this thing sometimes when we're fearful of something that we're trying to stop ourselves from doing it. You're not. You're going to go. You're going to get on this plane. It's going to suck. You're going to hate it. I get that. Did it a million times. Fearful. So that's what I just want to stress upon you, because I really don't know. I don't know the severity of yours. And we're also individual on what's going to work for us to make us not fearful. Now, it's so great when you get up at least by, 10,000 feet? You can watch something, a movie, a TV show, something like that. Obviously, you can listen to music. That's always been the case. Anything you can think of that might help you just have some comfort and relax. Maybe it's a book, who knows, or the other things I mentioned. But you can fly while being fearful, and you'll get there just fine. And that's the thing in the end. Hopefully this comes quick for you and it doesn't take as many years as me, as you realize. So the only person I was really interrupting their mental state was myself, because each time I got there just fine.
Yeah, and probably don't sit by a window. That might freak you out a little bit, because if you're by a window and you see the wings, they kind of bend a little bit and go up and down. Yes. And it is a little freaky if you don't know anything about what's going on. So maybe sit in that middle seat or the one closer to the aisle and just watch your elbow so you don't get hit by the drink cart.
Yes. My crazy ass, though, had to sit by the window by the wing because I needed to see the flap open and shut properly.
Oh,
because it was almost as if I had control to know we're going down.
And that brings me back to my last piece of advice on this. And it works in two different ways. If you have any type of belief system, give it up to your creator, or give it up to what you believe in. The universe, a God, whatever. It's like, whatever. They're going to decide. Or if you're not of that way, then just look at it from the literal human, you can't argue with what I'm about to say logic. You have absolutely no control over it once that plane starts to take off. The minute you begin to taxi, it's out of your hands.
I think that's what makes us fearful.
What's the point? Hey, then it becomes what Dawn's describing she used to do. It ruins that 3-hour trip.
It does.
3-hour trip. Just be sure not to Google News anything about Boeing. If you go up in the air, that's like the most safest place to be. The most dangerous part are the takeoffs and the landings. So don't worry about it if you're up in the air.
It's true. Gosh, dang it. And I hope she has, I hope that that was like, whoa, an epiphany for her about how many times you're on the road and how much more dangerous it is. If you're like me and others, you're like, no, up in the air sounds more scary than being in a car.
Which is ridiculous.
It is. It's like you're on land. You're touching ground.
Just to prove this wasn't a shameless plug, I want to thank Bonnie for writing in. Durr. Where to go, Rad Show. Durr. Bonnie writes in and said, why don't you recommend the calm shot from the Happiest Hour? Yeah. I hate flying, and I drink one of those before I take off, and it works well for me. So these are the 2-ounce liquid shots that are available at radradio.com in the Stupid Store.
Superstore, actually.
And they are made with all-natural terpenes, extracts from plants, and they target certain things to help you. I took a wake shot this morning, and it opened up my mind, gave me some energy, but none of those jitters, won't have those withdrawal effects. Get it wake. There's the mend shot for pain. There's the sleep shot, which knocks out Kyle the Bear for 12 hours.
It's a glorious.
There's the bliss shot. There's intensify, but you're talking about calm, which has been extraordinarily popular, especially lately with all the anxiety in the world. And we have heard amazing effects for people, and it certainly can't hurt. That is a great idea, and you're not going for 2 weeks, and we ship this stuff out right away from the Stupid Store.
Super Store.
So just go to radradio.com for that. Let me move to Bailey.
Hey, Bailey.
As I mentioned,
cat named Bailey.
That's super, Dawn. Thanks. This is not from a cat.
God rest her soul.
I mentioned that this will come up now and then as appropriate, and we've had so many emails, I don't want to ignore them. Bailey is writing in about what she describes in her subject line as sobriety-ish. She says, Rob, since you've inspired me, it has taken a little longer than I was ready for. I was done. I managed to get my everyday drinking to every other day. I am a functioning alcoholic, I think, although I feel crappy from time to time in the morning. I get up, I shower, I drop off the kids, I work, I sit on my ass for 9 hours a day, I drive for another hour and a half home. That being said, there was a question posted in my community page, quote, what inexpensive thing could somebody buy you that would make your day? So I asked my husband the question, you know, out of pure couple's curiosity. And he responded with flowers, which I do appreciate. And his second answer was whiskey, which set me back a little because I've come to realize, solidified by my husband, that I have been pegged that way and not in the good pegging way. I can't make promises. If you Google it, be careful. Very careful about it.
You'll get a lot of pictures of one-legged pirates.
If you're lucky. But she says, I'm hoping for a sober weekend because hearing that hurt. But it's not untrue. He answered honestly, and he is such a kind man. He married me for who I am, but it's time for me to give back to him. It's not easy to just... There's a few more emails that talk about this, about the idea of, okay, I'm just going to cut back, or I'm going to stop, or I'm going to go to every other day, and how you slip and such. And the one thing to your email specifically you need, whether it's somebody you're married to, whether you're in a relationship, whether it's a best friend, whether it's a parent, or you need someone. You do need a support group. Hopefully you have all of those things and many, and be as honest with them as you can, and work out a hold me accountable system for a sober weekend kind of thing. What does that look like? How do they do it? What works on you? Tough love, support, etc. This one is from Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Says, Rob, as you and Dawn often preach, disagreements, arguments, fights, whatever they look like in each home, are a normal, healthy part of any long-term committed relationship. I'm curious, with 6 weeks of sobriety under your ever-tightening belt...
It stretches.
Have you noticed a change in your interactions with Christina, specifically in times of disagreements? Especially since, as I understand it, she still drinks, at least occasionally, when you're around her. Correct? Well, yes. I mean, if we go out on a lunch date, well, not a lunch date, she works, but if we go out on a dinner date or something or whatever it is, when we're around each other, I don't want anyone to not drink. Because of me. That just makes me feel like an a-hole. You're not supporting me. You're making me think, oh, so you would like to be drinking? You would prefer to be, but you're not because of me? Yes, I have noticed a difference. Now, I'm not going to speak for her. I know this will come up on a Probcast as we're going nuts on Rad TV. We're dropping all the behind-the-scenes tours of all of our offices and the studios in our private building here and the kitchen and everything, and the first three episodes of Kyle's new show called Kyle's Corner.
Yes.
All coming this Friday to Rad TV. New episodes will then roll out on a regular basis of Kyle's Corner, as they will with both of Dawn's new shows, one of them about hating men.
It is not about hating men.
And then there is Old Woman in the Kitchen.
No, it's Dawn's.
Where Dawn cooks.
That's a great name.
And such. And there'll be ongoing episodes. Brandon and I are bringing back his podcast, my Probcast, and Christina will have an opportunity to get into her version of this. But the answer is yes in this sense. I've noticed from my angle, being clear-headed, that when things are said that could have previously led to any of those things that you mentioned, disagreements, arguments, fights, because these are all different levels or whatever, what happens now is there's this instant ability of mine to, in my brain, say, I guess, for lack of a better term, don't take the bait. It's like, oh, I could say something really biting here, and I would. If I had alcohol in me, and it would lead to something, and I just don't do it, and it's like it, because
that's so great to recognize.
There's no reason for it. Yeah. It's like I know where this is, and it's not necessarily because she's drinking. It's because I might say something that with alcohol, I think I'm saying it in a kidding way, but it's not going to come out that way or be received that way. She has mentioned, just to paraphrase, she has absolutely noticed a variety of things. You know, she's commented that she's back with the man she fell in love with, and she has specifically mentioned the interaction between the two of us. So I'll leave it at that.
That's
in terms
beautiful.
Of that question. All right, this one is from Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Says, I have to give a big thank you to Rob and Brandon for helping me get back to sobriety. Brandon helped me the first time around to realize I had a problem. And Brandon, it was it like 3 years ago where you said I'm done for a year? Because all these years blend together for me, man.
2017?
Jesus
What are those
Christ.
Audio files you were listening to recently?
That's 8 years ago.
Oh my God. So this is when you came on the air and you said, I'm stopping for a year. And you did.
Yeah.
And then you kind of sort of socially drank.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been very honest recently about battles with, maybe I'm doing it again too much. And then you and your fiancée, Nicole, are trying to figure out the whens, the wheres, the whys of all of this.
Yeah, it's just about finding that equal, healthy balance. And I think it's because I created this stigma for myself of knowing that it has caused so many troubles legally and socially and within relationships that, yeah, it's borderline alcoholism, but I can put it down. But when I do pick it up, sometimes it's just go hard or go, or, you know, go big or go home. So it's all about balance.
So Anthony says, Brandon helped me the first time when Brandon did, which apparently was 7 years ago, if it was 2017,
yeah.
To realize I had a problem. But as with any good journey, there have been stumbles. I went back to drinking occasionally, and that quickly devolved back into almost a handle of vodka a day.
Holy smokes.
That's your big boy. That's your 1.75. Regular bottle is 750 milliliters. That's 1.75.
And I wonder if, not that this might be important, but for someone like me that doesn't drink, okay, when I drank, it was always on the weekends to get drunk, right? So that is like, I wonder if somebody that does that during the week, is that like constantly throughout the day, or is it like all at one time? You know, like when where they can like sit there and like,
it takes a while to drink. Get through that much alcohol. I mean, you could do it in a few hours.
Oof, yeah.
And the effects will be, they will still be cumulative, but they'll be less felt if you spread it out over the whole day. Right. That's still an extraordinary amount of
alcohol. Of course, yes.
It is.
But I feel like maybe you can lie to yourself more if it's throughout the day, because the effects, right, are not all hitting you at once with that.
Part of crossing the Rubicon when it comes to drinking, which is what I did the last couple of years, is you're always lying to yourself.
Okay.
And yes, it is easier to do it the way you're doing it. But either way, that's a lot. Let me get back to the email. It says, when Rob came out and spoke about his own issues, it really hit me that anyone can fall into the vicious cycle of compulsion/addiction. All my health complications came back. All the mental strife, this is when he went back to drinking, all the mental strife that comes with constant suppression on oneself. I had an appointment early this week, and my doctor straight up laid out, I'm currently 28 years old, that I won't see 40 the way I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, sweetie.
And I'll suffer every moment until then.
Oh.
Today marks only the second day of sobriety.
Don't say only.
And God, do I want to drink.
Oh.
But I can't keep hurting everyone around me. Thank God for the anti-anxiety medication and low-dose benzo they gave me that are helping with the detox and probably helping my body not go into shock. It's going to be a long journey ahead, but I'll take it day by day. I'm just so glad I have somewhere I can rant and vent to that understand. I absolutely understand, Anthony. I do. I do. Look, the only thing I caution you against, it, someday I will be able to share with you a lot more details about my detox experience versus what I'm doing now, which is outpatient rehab. I can't right now for reasons that you'll understand on the day that I can share it. However, the one thing that I'm uncomfortable with is that way too many people's answers in the medical industry to helping people get off of alcohol is to simply transfer your compulsion, your body's need to escape to things like antidepressants. Hey, here's a whole bunch of value. You mentioned benzos, that's like Xanax, things like that. Take these. And that is not necessarily a healthy road to go down. You mentioned the detoxing. There is a drug that I haven't mentioned that my doctor gave me that is called, God, I'm going to screw this up, chlordiazepoxide.
That sounds right.
Chlordiazepoxide. If you Google alcohol withdrawal and get chlora right, it'll self-fill in on Google. I did that this morning. It is used for treating mild to severe anxiety disorder, so it has a little bit of that in it. Preoperative apprehension, but most notably withdrawal symptoms of acute alcohol use disorder in adults. Now, I have had no withdrawal symptoms through this entire process, other than those first two nights of detoxing, the night sweats, things like that that I've talked about. Other than that, none. And I, by the way, I wasn't on this when I was detoxing. I got it like a week and a half later when I saw my doctor. I'm done with it. I took it for like 2 weeks. That's all I needed. Two, you have to understand, when you finally do this, if you're truly committed, it is still on you. Because since this is a drug that treats mild to severe anxiety disorder, one of its side effects is that it can cause drowsiness for people that are lightweight pussies like me. I literally firsthand know, I used to live with a person decades ago who could take 3 milligrams of Xanax per day and function.
Is that a lot?
I don't know. I'm going to give you the example here.
Okay, yeah.
3 milligrams of Xanax a day while awake and function. If I take 0.25 milligrams of Xanax, I am knocked out for 8 hours. That's the difference.
Damn.
Now, what that probably meant, A, is that person really needed that drug because it's for anxiety and that's how they function. It's similar to opiates. When you are taking Vicodin for pain, it helps your pain. When you take Vicodin and you don't have any problems with your body, you go, woo, this is fun. And that's how you wind up going down that road. Same thing. So so my point being, I did not take the prescription for the chlorodioxypoxide stuff. Was I was supposed to take it 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and night. And I said to my doctor, I asked him about the side effects. I said, well, I ain't taking it in the morning. I got a show to do. And he said, okay, yeah, you're right. He said, take it after the show. I did that once. And by 2 p.m., I was all drowsy. And so I only took that drug at night. My point is, no withdrawal symptoms and everything else I was doing. So while that drug was on board at night, there's still so much of it that rests on us. And we really, really, really have to want this and be committed to it and be willing to fight the fight and have the support system that I've brought up. And with that, I just want to read, I just got to squeeze in one more so that we can wrap this up, not turn it into the sobriety show, but also help people that keep writing. This is from Call Me Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Carl?
Says, Rob, by my calculations, you are close to 2 months completely sober. For many months, I have known I was overdoing it. Everything you have said about telling yourself how easy it is that and that you've got it all under control was step one until I got to the next phase that you described where you knew you had to slow down, change, stop, yet you poured the next drink. And I went through that for about 3 months. I tapered. I slowed down for about 2 to 3 weeks. And then, like the earlier email, I started back up to where I was back to phase one again. You sharing your journey has been a kick in my ass. I literally hear you every time I make another drink every night. And this is a weird question, and maybe you won't answer it because it'll be viewed as just another excuse to not stop. But what, if anything, do you miss about drinking so far? So I get what he's saying there is if I go through all of these wonderful things that I miss, he's going to be like, see, that's why I can't. Look, if you're in that stage, you're not ready. And that's the most important thing about all of this. I've told the story. Dawn's husband, Gary, drove me home one day and asked me, what the hell happened to you? Get into rehab. This is last fall. And I said, shut up. I'm not interested in it. And if I'm not interested in it, it ain't going to work. And he said, you're right. And then he changed what he was talking about. When you're ready, you're ready. And excuses don't matter anymore. So I'm going to answer your question honestly. What do I miss about drinking so far? I've already mentioned there were two really bad days early on in this process where I was doing that typical heavy drinker thing of, I need a drink because I needed a drink because that's what alcohol, it will take the edge off. In those moments, that's what I missed about drinking. That doesn't exist anymore. Believe me, I've had plenty of stressful days, stressful moments, over the top incidents in the last few weeks. Alcohol doesn't even occur to me. The only thing, I don't miss the feeling of it at all. The only thing that I miss about it, and I do miss it, is the taste. I always drank alcohol for the taste.
Yeah, you weren't one of those. It's like, I'm just drinking to get buzzed.
There's a reason that the Williams Manor collection of bourbons and whiskeys are all, you know, some of the best in the world. That's the only thing I miss, but I don't miss it even close enough to go, it's worth what's going to happen. Right now, again, I don't know how long I'm going to not drink at all. Maybe forever. I'm still working this system. I'm rehabbing. I'm in counseling. I'm up to four counselors, for God's sakes.
Good for you.
At various times, and at least twice a week. And I'm confronting all this stuff and everything else going on in my brain. My brain's rewiring itself. There's all sorts of emotional things going on and physical things going on that I'm not even aware of. I don't know. Maybe I'll start drinking again and see if I cannot go back down the road that these guys have and find out. Maybe I never will again. Maybe I'll know. I don't know. I just know right now that's the only thing I miss. And I don't miss it often. I really don't. But it does come up now and then. You can always write to the doctor, R-A-D, at radradio.com.
Dr. Rob is not a real doctor. He only plays a doctor on the radio. Most of the time, he's full of crap.
Here. Just a great follow-up to the guy that asked about communication with your wife being sober. Jason says, Rob, one of the major things I've learned in sobriety is that I don't have to participate in every argument that I'm invited to.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Well said. Well said.
Yes. Very well said.
Let us play Treble Trouble right now. We've got a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at Hard Rock Live Sacramento Friday night, October 18th.
Apply that to your children as well. Your teenager.
Yeah. Everybody that wins tickets to see Foreigner is qualified for the grand prize drawing a week from Friday to be upgraded to the front row. We're going to give you a 3-second song clip. You give us the title of the song and you win. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20. And if nobody knows the song title,
you want to fight? Come on, let's fight. Come on.
Droplets everywhere and no winner.
We need a winner.
888-989-9811 for Treble.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn Show.